Hello and welcome to another edition of The Exchange presented by Confederation Group. Today is Thursday, April 9th. I'm joined with Blake Doyle, my co-host, via Zoom, which we've been doing pretty much every day now. It's a common way of communication for us. How are you today, Blake?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to 5G. These latency issues with Zoom are getting a little bit problematic, and we'll be happy to see that new infrastructure roll out whenever it comes.
Blake's borrowing his neighbor's Wi-Fi, so it's a little spotty. No, I'm only teasing.
I'm gonna have to get my own account.
Yeah. your extender isn't working. So today we have an interview on tap with Kent Hudson, who is the executive director of the Community Foundation. We sort of picked his brain on what they're doing in terms of keeping the not-for-profit sector afloat. And what they're doing to keep community engaged. We were joined by him for about a half hour. He gave us a lot of good information, such as their gala and also the senior tablet program that they're rolling.
Yeah, and there's leadership emerging every place in this current crisis that we're in. And we're certainly seeing it from the Community Foundation and from Kent specifically. Lots of organizations are adapting, and this is a good example of how to adapt in a not-for-profit fundraising, community engagement, approach, and it's really unique, some of the things that they're doing and the success they're having.
Certainly, and it shows the value of community, even with their gala, to kind of bring people together in a time of, whether it's worrisome or scared or stressed or whatever the case may be, it allows that avenue to kind of open dialogue for people to kind of feel a sense of connectivity. And I think that's what we're trying to do with The Exchange as well, but he's doing it on a bit broader scale and having a little bit more famous people involved. Actually, one of the persons he mentioned was Doug McLean, who we had a conversation with about a month ago now. But a lot of famous PEI or PEI famous individuals, as well as some singer-songwriters and other community leaders.
And I think the date of that event is April 24th,
16th. April 24th, yeah. And I think it's all on their website too. Well, Kent goes over that in the interview. But aside from that, any other news that kind of popped out the last day or two?
The big thing that from a business perspective is I think the recognition that the economy is under a fair bit of duress. And you see that in the government sort of approach to announcing programs and then adapting the programs and refining the programs. So they're doing the best they can to come out with initiatives. They recognize these initiatives are inadequate and then they enhance them. We're a long ways from a resolution to this issue, but getting the economy kickstarted and the catalyst from different government programs will certainly help to maintain employment. U.S. have unemployment numbers coming out today, actually probably out now.
And I'm sure like they're probably working on the Canadian numbers too, but it's evident through if you were to call Service Canada today, that you'd be on hold for quite some time. So there's definitely a need for unemployment insurance, employment insurance, EI. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what that effect will have on small business, whether people have enough money to go out and buy or get the takeout or go and buy something that they wouldn't have before, or they would have before, but just don't have the funds to do so now.
An EI is 55% of your revenue under most circumstances, so they're not going to have a lot of discretionary income. Better option is for government to stimulate business, try to keep people engaged, even if your productivity is decreased, get people employed, and try to make sure
keep the consistency in a paycheck that they can just keep paying their mortgage and keep buying local beer, or local whatever the case may be, to keep people employed all around the community.
So we'll see. That's the big thing. And every day this unfolds and every day there's new announcements. So we are getting closer to a point of confidence. And with that confidence, then there'll be a resumption of economic activity. So I'm optimistic we're going to get there. And, you know, this is a 30-month process, but let's try to resume what we can for the economy in the next 45 days.
Yeah, that's the exchange is the pinnacle of positivity. We're never negative. We're always having positive outlooks on everything we do.
Especially government. There's no reason to criticize government.
No, never. But in all seriousness, I think we're providing something like a little bit more information on things that matter to individuals around Prince Edward Island, and we'll continue to do so as time goes on. But without further ado, we will probably now transfer it over to our interview with Mr. Kent Hudson, the Executive Director of the Community Foundation of PEI, and we will talk to you later. We're here today with Kent Hudson, the Executive Director of the Community Foundation of Prince Edward Island. He just got off a radio interview not too long ago this morning, I'm joined with Blake Doyle, my co-host. How's it going today, Kent and Blake?
Going great with me. How about you, Blake?
Things are great. In fact, we're so happy that you've come from all these media circuits right onto the Exchange. So we're delighted to have you here, Kent.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
So the Community Foundation of PEI, do you want to kind of give us in general terms what the foundation does and how it affects Islanders?
Yeah, the CFPEI 101, as we call it, and that's hard to do. I actually jokingly said that on air with the other gang just a few minutes ago. It's hard to explain in a short time period, so we could take about an hour or two to talk about this, but we won't. Really what we are, we help people give to charities is really what we do. If we were to kind of put it into a nutshell, we help people give to charities and causes that are near and dear to their hearts. But mostly what we historically have done more of is the endowment side of things. So scholarships or community grants are the two areas that we've done historically the most of. A scholarship, quite simply, is, or historically how we've set it up, is a donor will come to us and say, I want to establish a scholarship in my name or a loved one's name or whatever. And we want that to go on forever and ever. So what happens is you provide a donation, or the donor provides a donation, either one time or over several years to get it to a certain value. And we basically then invest it and use those residual earnings to grant a scholarship in perpetuity. So it will literally live on forever. And so the scholarship side of it is a way that's interesting because it allows, again, whatever the donor desires. If there's a specific cause that the donor has, or a specific school that they want, if they want it to always be a certain school, or if they want it to be in a certain area, whether it's dental or whether it's doctors or whether it's business or whatever, the donor is the driving force behind it. And my job as the executive director in building these funds is to allow the donor to establish what exactly it is that they want to do in perpetuity with a scholarship of that nature. And the same goes with other, whether they're community grants or other activities. Some donors, for example, give us a donation and we give an annual stipend or whatever those earnings are to specific causes every year. And we just literally write a check to a cause that they're near and dear about. Others want an application process each year where organizations would have the opportunity to apply for funds based on a project that they might be doing. And again, it's always based on what the donor wants and what the donor's passions are. And you know, they've been successful maybe in their life and they want to give back to the community. But I also say this, a lot of people think that you must be wealthy to give, and you don't. We are really creative in finding ways to do it. And to provide people with the ability to do some wonderful things in this community.
So I've been aware of the Community Foundation for a dozen years. It's funny, when you're in the community and you mention this organization, and it's very, people know about it, it carries a huge amount of weight. I've never heard somebody not speak exceptionally positively about the organization. Now, you have a great board of directors. Tell us a little bit about who's involved, and just to get a flavor for, because I know there's been some significant community leaders that have participated on the foundation in the previous years.
Yeah, our board is a 12-member board from across Prince Edward Island, and they come from a geography. Number one is important to us because we want it from tip to tip. I would say that we historically, first and foremost, we started 25 years ago, and we're the best or worst kept secret in PEI for the 25 years. But it was probably originally started by two gentlemen, mostly Tom Davies and Dr. Don Glendenning were the two driving forces originally behind it. Over the past several years, I would say that John Robinson has been probably the biggest driving force behind the establishment of many of the funds, which we now have a little over $11.5 million in our endowment. So that drives a lot of granting on an annual basis. It drives somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 that we're able to grant every year to various causes. Our current board is led by Jonathan Ross, who is a Charlottetown person, I guess, from a geography standpoint. Our vice president is Jeff McKenzie. Past president is John Robinson. Our treasurer is Dennis Carver. And our secretary is Rhonda McPhee. So again, and filled in on top of that are seven other board members from tip to tip. They are all community-minded or individuals that maybe have a passion in a specific area or have connections that we want to make sure that we're kind of establishing with various communities, letting people know what we do, and just being the driving force behind many of the activities that we do on a day-to-day basis.
So it sounds like a punchline to a joke. We've got a sailor, a CrossFitter, and a golfer kind of as a senior leadership of this organization.
Yeah, and they all walk into some sort of facility. We'll see, but it is. It's a really interesting group. It's a great group, and that is part of it, is they're all from diverse backgrounds. Not all just business, not all just community. It's a mix of everybody in there. So it's a great group, and I'm really lucky to be a part of it.
Definitely. And it, it's certainly, it shows like a high level of collaboration in terms of Islanders in general. And I guess in the past week, there's been a couple different announcements from the Community Foundation, but one that's kind of hit home, especially in terms of with the government, has been the Seniors Tablet Program. So do you want us to kind of give, or do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown on what that is and how it's benefiting our senior population?
Yeah, for sure. It was, and it's like anything, it comes together with somebody having an idea and then finding a way to get in touch with us. And that's the intrigue, is we're really creative, but a lot of people come to us often and say, do you have money for this? And we say, no, but we can help you kind of, we're the vehicle is really what we are. So the tablet program, for example, was got a call from an individual by the name of Steve Dowling, who said, I'm curious if we might be able to do something. Steve works for the province and said, we'd really like to do something for to put tablets into the home, into the seniors' homes across PEI or the long-term care facilities. They are dealing with a shutdown, basically, where they're isolated from their loved ones. And it's not the same if you make a phone call as it might be to have a face-to-face and however that might be. So it started with that idea. We basically said, I think we can provide the vehicle for it. The vehicle being an online donation portal that we have the capability to do. We quickly kind of steamrolled a quick media release, put it out, did some social media. The province heard about it from Minister Ernie Hudson's department. He called and said, how about I give you $10,000 if you get people to match that $10,000? And we said, absolutely, we'll throw it into the pot. We again went out to social media, really, which was the key, shared it amongst a bunch of networks of people. And all of a sudden, we've got $27,000 that we've raised in total using the $10,000 as the impetus to kind of start it. It really is a true success story of, very quickly, that was a 7 to 10 day period. And it really didn't take a whole lot other than just a few kind of creative people coming up with the concept. And now we're in that position where we've gone out, purchased the tablets, and we're distributing them, which is another slightly interesting story, because as I'm sitting in my office, as you can see, I'm wondering how to give 110 tablets that we've ordered to 40 plus long-term care facilities across PEI. So how does that happen? Somehow we contact the credit unions of PEI. We say, I wonder if we dropped off boxes of tablets, would you be able to use that as a, use your facilities as a depot for our senior long-term care facilities to come and pick up? They said, sure, but why don't we just deliver them for you? And I said, yes, that would be absolutely wonderful. So literally, that's what PEI and what we're able to do is we're connectors, if I'll say it that way, is we kind of ask people to do nice things for us, and so far they're doing them. And the credit union is a really good example of that, that they didn't need to go and pick these up and drive them all around PEI, but they said PEI is in need right now. And they kind of said it in this way. they said, sure, those facilities, long-term care facilities, could come and pick them up at our various locations, but they probably have enough to do right now, taking care of the residents in their locations. So why don't we deliver them for you? And so it's just an amazing kind of story of collaboration and everybody jumping in at a time of need, which is what Islanders are well known for, right?
It's a great success story. And it's great. I mean, you're a community unions, you're a community-based organization. You've got a lot of good connections. So when you talk about connections in the community and some of the things you've done, give us a little bit of an overview of the kinds of endowments or programming that you have supported the communities
with. Yeah, we have, and again, those endowments are built on what the donor may desire, but, you know, some of them that come to mind initially are, you know, we have a fund called the David A. McKay Fund. David A. McKay was an Islander that passed away far too soon from a heart-related incident, and the family and donors established the fund to assist with perhaps addressing some of those heart-related issues to save some lives. So the fund was established. We invested the money, and so this year, for example, we'll have somewhere around $4,000 to $5,000 that we'll grant from that fund. What is that used for? Community groups and charities across PEI can apply for funds to perhaps buy an AED machine for their community facility or whatever, so that, again, it's tied directly to, you know, David A. McKay passed away because of a heart-related issue. How can we make a difference for that in the future? And so we take that as an example, and we're able to establish some granting that we've done, you know, over the past, whatever, 10 years. Many of those AEDs have been purchased or provide training for first aid, or the gamut is across the board. There's other really unique programs that some of our donors give us funds to say, you use it for the absolute best cause of the day. Well, guess what? Today that's COVID-19. So we've established a COVID-19 fund that we will raise money for, but we've also put $25,000 from some of our existing fund holders into that. So we've established that with an immediate impact of $25,000 from probably a half dozen funds. Government, through Minister Jamie Foxx's department, has matched that $25,000. So we've got $50,000 that will go into there automatically. And through a various other fundraising, similar to how we did the Tablets for Seniors program, is we have a donation portal set up that will allow people to give to that fund as well. They get their charitable donation receipt for it if they're willing to or able to. And we take the $25,000 of our own money from funds, another $25,000 from government. All of a sudden, we've got $50,000 that we can use to build more and more into this COVID-19 recovery fund, if you will, with our intent being that we will establish criteria in the very near future. We don't really know what the best use of those funds is yet. So we're establishing that now by doing a little bit of research to make sure that we're not stepping over bounds on anything. We know that United Way, for example, has a pot of funds available that the province has established with them. So we don't want to be bouncing into each other here. We want to make sure that we're doing something that is over, you know, separate from what is already available. So we're working with government and with United Way and other organizations to try to establish what we would use those funds for.
Now, my co-host is a leader in the community. He'll be an exceptionally successful person, if he's not already, not to discount his current success, but can anybody, and I know that, I'm not sure if everybody recognizes this, but anyone can make a donation to the Community Foundation, and it's tax deductible, is that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, so really, we set up a donation portal, so it's very easy. You don't necessarily have to be working with checks, but we're certainly able to take payment in any way, shape, or form. But the easiest way, honestly, is we set up a donation portal, and it allows people to go in and make a one-time donation, a monthly donation, an annual donation. We have all of the tricks, you know, kind of available for that. And with every one of those donations, you're given a charitable tax receipt for that donation. you can also establish where you want that to go with, you know, to some extent. There are certainly CRA guidelines in terms of what you're able to use or establish as granting. But through us, we have the creativity and the ability to make sure that we're able to really give those funds to the most appropriate need based on what your desires are as a donor.
For sure. And I'm actually a recipient of a scholarship through the Community Foundation. So in high school, I won the Stephen Turner Memorial Award. And I guess just the power of the Community Foundation. Since then, I've become really close with the family. And we, like, I still stay in touch with Stephen's mother, who's a sweetheart. But you're able, like, it just, it, like you said, it's that avenue to make it easier for someone who wants to give, like someone like Stephen, who passed away way too early. And to be able to give that fund in his name, it's pretty amazing to what the Community Foundation can actually do and help people.
It really is. And every time we make another one of those connections, it snowballs, which is a little bit scary because we're a small staff. But the snowballing is good. We hope that it happens forever. But through every one of those connections we make, it seems that it creates another open door opportunity. One of the things I also wanted to mention, Blake, that you know, you and I have chatted about in the past is, you know, the ways to give. There's all kinds of ways. Yeah, we can take credit card and check and all those kinds of things. But what a lot of people don't realize is that you can establish, there's a couple of things. One is a gift of shares, which in today's world, not to joke about it, but right now the gift of shares may not be as popular. But if you're holding a share of a certain company and it has a sizable taxable gain or capital gain on it, you can actually donate the shares and you will receive the full benefit without having any of the capital gain attached to it. Other ways to be involved is you can leave a legacy gift in your estate plan. Again, it will have tax implications that are beneficial. You can give a life insurance policy, for example. We have a couple of those in the works now. There's almost anything you can give that we can establish as a way for a legacy to be established for an individual. And again, based on whatever their passion or desire is at any point in time.
So switching gears a little, we talked briefly about kind of how you help charities and help just different community organizations. And now with COVID-19, maybe those fundraising events won't be able to happen, whether it's fundraising dinners or like Dancing with the Stars, as hospice would be doing. So the Community Foundation's actually decided to kind of switch gears and do a virtual gala. So do you want to give us a little bit more information on the Community Foundation PEI's online gala?
Yeah, and it came about, I'll be honest, it came about through a little bit of research that I was doing online as I was locked in my office here at home. It kind of brainstormed into this idea of, and again, we are using it as a fundraiser, but that's the secondary component. People can give to this if they so desire or if they're able. But the intent quickly became, let's take one night where Islanders can leave their worries outside and just have 3 hours of complete and utter entertainment from Islanders. And that's our entire lineup, and everything we're doing is Islander-based. We're not going to some superstar from, they're superstars, don't get me wrong, but they're all Islanders. So we established what is now called the PEI Stay at Home Online Gala, intended to be a celebration of coming together while staying apart. Obviously online we're able to social distance appropriately, and it really started to, I guess it really did start to snowball when we started making a few connections into potential people that would come in. And so we're going to establish, or we've invited a number of musical artists, for example, who will literally come on and do a song and come off. Like it's the Live Aid kind of, you know, our small version of Live Aid here. And as we started thinking about musical entertainment, we thought, okay, well, what if we kind of in between all of those had some nice messages from some of our athletes or celebs that maybe have been around for many, many years. So we have an amazing lineup that we are confirmed now, but we're still adding to, and those include, I'll go through those carefully here. I'm going to read off this because I don't want to miss anybody, but you know, we have Lenny Gallant, Tara McLean, Joey Kitson, Richard Wood, Ava and Lily Rashad, who are of most recent world renowned after their involvement in, I believe, Nickelodeon. We've reached out to a few other local, truly local, but Kendall Dougherty, Barry O'Brien, Brooke MacArthur. We've still not heard back from a few, and I'm not going to use their names because I don't want to put them in any. I'm not using this as a way to have them kind of either come in or not, but we're reaching out still to a few more of those musical artists just to see their availability and see if they're willing to do it. On top of that, I spoke about some of the, you know, athletes, both current and former, as examples. Zach McEwen, Ross Johnson, Adam McQuaid, Gerard Turk-Gallant, Heather Moyse, Lori Kane, Dave Eli McEachern, Scott Morrison, Noah Dobson, Brad Richards, Doug McLean, all confirmed as making guest appearances. Those will happen throughout the show. The other one is a really interesting one. Chef Michael Smith is going to do a cooking demo as part of our happy hour show. So, for example, he's going to come on and do a little bit of a cooking demo to allow people to enjoy just seeing what he does on a daily basis. Or I think he's going to actually involve his family in it, which is pretty cool as well.
And you left off DJ Blake Doyle on the artist list.
I haven't signed the contract yet. It's getting looked over right now. So
it is. There's legal implications, and we're trying to make sure that we cover all the bases. So question.
Sam and I have started a little bit of a bluegrass band. I don't know if there's still openings for us to come on or.
I think so. I mean, there's certainly everybody's terminology of celebrity is different, right? It's all how you
feel. In your own head.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I'll put it to the committee. How's that?
Sounds like a plan.
That sounds good.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty neat though. When we started to brainstorm it came as, okay, well, if you're going to do a gala, well, first of all, there has to be a happy hour. So from 6 to 7 p.m., we're going to feature various, like I said, some local entertainers, Chef Michael Smith there. But then, as you would know from going to galas, then there's kind of the formal part from 7 to 9. And so that's more formal, where we get into more of an MC-based. And we've pulled none other than Boomer Gallant out of the woodwork to come out of retirement to MC this. I'm a little nervous about that, as anybody that has dealt with Boomer over a three-hour time period, I'm not sure how that's going to go. But we're going to feature that during the 7 to 9 time period. And then as we were thinking about it, we thought, well, any gala requires some sort of food as well. And how could we possibly do that? Well, what we did was we reached out to the restaurants in PEI, and we've given them the opportunity to kind of be a part of this by allowing anybody to order, whether some of those restaurants are still open and operating for delivery or takeout. We want to support them as well. So it may be an opportunity for them to obviously get a little bit of revenue during this downtime for them as well. So those are the three main components: the happy hour, the main portion itself, and then some sort of food option where you can find out information and maybe do a delivery or takeout option for the evening as well.
It's BYOB, I assume.
I believe that some of our brewery friends are able to deliver these days, so we might include a little bit of that as well.
I like the sounds of that.
Yeah.
Maybe just confirm that the date and time again, and as a gala, is there an opportunity to make a fundraising be a public offering? I think there's, by looking at your faces, I can see there's some latency in the internet connection.
I think what Blake was trying to say is how to go about making a financial contribution, and you want to just give us the dates and times.
Yeah, so the date, I have that face all the time, Blake, so I didn't know whether that was, I thought that was coming next, is I can see your blank face being, but I was like, no, I just tuned out. The date and time again is we are looking at Friday, April 24th, and 6 to 9 p.m. You absolutely, if you're interested, must go in and register in advance. And the reason for that is that we're going to provide the link to the show a day or the day of, maybe a day in advance or the day of. All that allows us to do is make sure that we're kind of providing information to anybody that registers in advance. We're able to kind of make them, keep them updated on new artists that might come in. We're just doing that kind of thing. Where you do the information or where you register is you just go to our website at cfpei.ca. There'll be a pop-up that shows up that allows you to register for the event. And you'll also see that there's an ability when you do register for the event, you'll receive information that provides you with a link of where you can go if you wanted to make a donation. And again, that donation can be anything. It's whatever anybody can give. We'll put it to the absolute best use possible if you so desire to give, and any donation will also receive that charitable tax receipt as well.
It's great what you're doing. Yeah, you covered the basics pretty well. Yeah. It's great what you're able to do, and I think it kind of gives a sense of the community foundation, but it does give a sense of community in that we're bringing people together in a time of maybe a little bit of worry, and maybe people aren't sure what's going to happen, but I think this is kind of a light at the end of the tunnel to say we can still have fun, we can still come together and make something of a negative situation.
Yeah, and that really was the intent. It's completely about being able to, I say unplug, but you can't unplug. You're going to have to be plugged in.
You have to charge your laptop.
Yeah, you must be able to have that. But, you know, it's kind of a way for us to just say, what can we do? And that's really how it started, is what can we do to alleviate some of the people's issues or concerns? Well, one way is we're trying to raise money to allow some organizations to have some funds to be able to cope with this COVID-19 that we're facing. But when we looked at it as a broader base, we said, how about helping Islanders kind of adapt in this? So we just want people to enjoy the evening, and we're going to have some fun with it. And that's probably why, you know, even having somebody like Boomer Gallant involved, well, it's intended to be a fun evening. You know, technically we're doing it. We're going to use Scott McLean at Universal Media is going to do all the production for us. Do we have a fear that there will be buffering and everything? Absolutely. But in today's world, as we even see, right, we're becoming, that's the norm. We see it in terms of everything we're doing. I see it, you know, when you're watching the news broadcast now, there is that. So we'll kind of educate people, obviously, and we've done a lot of testing. I'm losing a lot of sleep over the testing of the actual broadcast itself, but we think it'll go well, and we'll deal with any of those technical glitches that come up, and we'll figure it out as we go along. We just want to make sure that we do as much homework as we can ahead of time to make it as positive as we can, for sure.
Well, we won't keep you much longer unless Blake had any other additions to have. Any other questions, Blake?
I did just want to say that, you know, I've known Kent for a long time. The Community Foundation is lucky to have your leadership. I think the entire charitable community in PEI is lucky to have your leadership and your contributions at this time. And congratulations for you and all that your organization's doing. And it's these kind of initiatives that really demonstrate the islands coming together, and that we will get through this. But there's a way to support a whole bunch of networks even when times are tough.
Yeah, and you know, well, thank you for that. And I did not pay you to say that, or I didn't yet anyway.
Not yet. My DJ.
There may be, yeah, that's what it's for, exactly. It really, I say this, it really is a really unique organization, and it's such a pleasure to be a part of. We have so many great people that are involved, and we have such a broad capability to do stuff like this that doesn't fit with anything, right? It's just, what can we do to make this community better? We already think PEI is a really great spot, or most of us do, I suspect. My job on a day-to-day basis is to allow people to make it better. And it's funny, I talk to a lot of donors, and again, you don't have to be that wealthy to be a donor or to establish your own fund. And that's kind of what we do. We provide people with the ability to start their own endowment, basically. You don't have to start your own foundation. Just use us, because we're a lot cheaper. We don't, you know, there's no charge. You don't have to do annual reporting of financials. So we establish that for you, and we do all the work, and you get to, you know, reap the benefits. And one of the donors, I won't mention names, but he's often said to me, he said, you know, I like doing things when I'm alive and I like to make these donations and see them. But he said, there's nothing wrong with doing something after I'm gone as well. And that's what those legacy funds are able to do is, if you think about it, it's really hard to kind of get people into the mindset of understanding that when you establish a scholarship today, it truly will live forever in your name or a loved one's name. So it's hard to think about it, especially now in terms of a long-term time frame, but it lives on forever and ever. And it's pretty powerful when you think of that and the establishment of what we're able to do to ensure that that legacy is there forever.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate your time for coming on. We'll let you get back to planning the gala and handing out tablets. We're very grateful for your time today.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Good luck on the 24th.
Thanks.
There you have it, our interview with the Executive Director of the Community Foundation of PEI, Kent Hudson. We really appreciate his time. To give a sense of what the Community Foundation is doing in this kind of time of uncertainty and maybe stress, a little bit of stress for the not-for-profit sector. So they're having their virtual gala on April 24th, and as well the senior tablet program that has been rolling out to ensure connectivity between seniors, long-term living facilities, and their family members. So moving forward, we'll continue to pump out as many episodes as we can, to kind of get the up-to-date information from community leaders, business leaders, and not-for-profit sectors as well. So this has been The Exchange, presented by Confederation Group. I'm Sam McPhail, and we will see you next time.